This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, a Christmas Friday. I don't think that makes any sense. It's not Christmas. It's almost Christmas, Chris. You can call it a Christmas. It's the last Friday before Christmas. Sorry, some of us are pretty jolly right now, Ebenezer. Anyway, we're going to have a bunch of more questions. We're going to have a bunch of more questions this hour. Remember, though, I'll just pause for a quick moment. Remember I brought this up yesterday? And in fact, I've been bringing it up recently. In fact, I said, this is a few days ago, that in the wake of that terrorist attack, that people always convince themselves that maybe now the communists will change their ways, they'll change their mind. This is the bridge too far. This, now they'll break, but they never seem to break. They just find a way to blame you and use everything for the revolution. And I said, if a nuclear bomb went off, if some Islamist set off a nuclear bomb in L.A., he wouldn't prompt communist politicians here in America, Democrats, to stop the mass importation of foreigners. Not a single one would do that. They would find a way to blame it on you and attack you because everything's for the revolution. And I brought up the car theft in Minnesota. You see, Minnesota and New York, other places, but we'll focus on Minnesota. Because of the mass importation of Somalis in combination with the George Floyd Black Lives Matter stuff, what it has done is it's created an open jail environment. The cops are way outmanned. I believe last time I had talked to Liz Collin, great reporter from up there, I believe the last time I talked to her, the Minneapolis Police Department was at half strength. There aren't enough cops. The jails are open. It's a bunch of communist politicians. And now car theft is a really, really big deal. And we have these roving gangs of savages stealing people's cars all day, every day. What's the response from the communist politicians?
It's also about holding corporations accountable.
Sorry, this is the Attorney General Keith Ellison of Minnesota.
It's also about holding corporations accountable when their negligence puts Minnesotans at risk.
In 2021, the Kia Boys challenge swept social media after a few teenagers posted videos on TikTok showing how Kia and Hyundai vehicles could easily be stolen. This wasn't true in other car makes, because nearly all other cars sold in America came equipped with something called an engine immobilizer.
We pressed these companies to do much more, and we won. Under the settlement, Hyundai and Kia must provide free ignition cylinder protectors for every vulnerable vehicle.
The communists opened up the jails, let the savages run wild, and in response to rampant car theft, they attacked the car manufacturers. There is no bridge too far. There's nothing that could ever happen that would get these people to change their evil ways. Nothing. Just accept that. Accept it and move on. All right? Jesse, I still can't refer to someone who allows bacon to stay in the fridge long enough to go bad by such a manly name as Bronco. That was one time. I decided long before hearing you say that our country is in decline. Rather than idly watch it happen, shouldn't we, as patriotic Americans, be trying to delay or reverse this decline? I believe so. But the problem is how? What say you? Well, yes, we patriotic Americans, I believe, have a duty to our country and to the next generation to attempt to reverse the decline, if not delay the decline. As I tried to explain, and I hope I got this through. Yes, I believe, because just simply the matter of dates, 250 years is a long time. I believe we have probably peaked because historically empires don't peak after 250. Most don't last 250. If you do, that's when things start to go down. It doesn't mean we're bad or stupid or whatever. That's just kind of the history of mankind. That's the cycle it goes. However, There are all kinds of empires historically that post-peak, after they peaked, for a long time, people in those empires lived really well. A wonderful standard of living. Just because I say we've probably peaked and we're probably on a decline, that doesn't mean we stop fighting. That means we fight harder to ensure that decline is as slow and gradual as humanly possible. And I'll be honest, I'm extremely selfish with this as well because it's for my sons and the grandsons I don't have yet. And the great-grandsons, I'll never meet them. I'll die too early. But the great-grandsons I'll never meet. And granddaughters too, of course. Sorry, I didn't mean to exclude the grandchildren. But it's for future generations. I want them to have some semblance of the country I have had. Something that at least is in its image, right? I want to pause on something for a second. And it's such an old story, and it's a story because you're hyper-informed, you already know. But things happen, and what happens is we get desensitized to things. We now know what we really kind of knew all along, that the Joe Biden White House, the communists inside Joe Biden's White House, coordinated with the Department of Justice to raid Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Now, you probably just said, well, yeah, or at least you thought it, but that's my problem, you see. That's what I said too. Do you understand what a bridge too far that is? That the president of the United States of America, not long ago either, this is like yesterday, the president of the United States of America sent the Department of Justice, we now know without proper justification, to raid the home of his political opponent. That's what happens in corrupt Latin America countries. That happens in some dump in the Middle East. And that's the kind of thing. How sad is this? At least me, maybe not you, but me. I would have made fun of other countries for doing that for most of my life. Figures, but what a dirtball society. Look at that. Arresting that. That's the exact kind of thing we've mocked Vladimir Putin for forever. Look at him locking up his political opponents. What a scumbag. Democrats do that here now. That bridge has been crossed. And they're not sorry, remember. They're not sorry. Not a single Democrat, not just in elected office, not one that I have seen or heard of in this entire country, including on social media, not one has come out and said, you know, that was probably wrong. Telling the Attorney General to raid the home of my political opponent, that was probably not an appropriate use of power. In fact, it was probably against the law. And, you know, I hate Donald Trump, but we probably shouldn't have done that. Not one Democrat has said that. Not one. The lesson they learned was they didn't do it hard enough, fast enough. They didn't go far enough. That's scary. It's scary because we are going to attempt to slow down the decline, aren't we? Make that descent as gradual as humanly possible so generations of Americans will get to enjoy the country we have enjoyed. That is my intention. I'm assuming it's your intention as well. We are up against people who are going to light a match to it as fast as they can, and they're not sorry, they're not regretful, they're not hesitant at all. They are going to try to turn up that speed and make sure that decline is as rapid as possible. That doesn't mean we can't defeat them, and in the end, we will win. But it's going to be a battle. It's most definitely going to be a battle. How do we do it? We get involved. I would suggest you don't try to save your country. That's too much for you or me. We don't have that power. Save your circle, meaning your area. Maybe that's your town. Save that first. Maybe that's your state. Save that first. If things do come apart on us one day, and we all know one day they will, maybe it's 200 years from now, but One day it will all come apart. When that day comes, your immediate area is going to be so much more important to you than what's happening in Washington, D.C. Get to know your neighbors. Get involved politically in your community. Make sure you are wired in, know what's going on. Make sure you're running dirty communists out of office in your local area. I promise they are there. Yes, even your red area. And we march on. All right. Let's talk about some healthcare stuff. The French and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Do not forget you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to those before I leave you. Jesse, the healthcare system is awful. The day Obamacare passed, I was picking up a prescription for multiple sclerosis that I had been paying with my insurance for $50 per month. After they announced Obamacare had passed, I was about to give the pharmacist my debit card when she told me that my prescription with insurance is now $3,500 with insurance. I wasn't making $40,000 per year to throw away. My wife found out that I wasn't going to take the medication. She worked around the medical industry and she made a few calls. That medication is now three times higher, so it's very hard, if not impossible, to pay for treatment. This is what the communists did to our healthcare system. And like we talked about in the first hour, they destroyed it on purpose. The whole idea of it was never to provide for this person or that person, this poor. It was never that at all. The whole idea of it was destroy it. And once it was destroyed, they assumed the people would cry out for government to get involved and create the single-payer, government-run healthcare system they always wanted. That was the entire idea behind it. And we are in the beginnings of that fight right now because now it's broken. Now it's so broken beyond repair. You can't have families paying $20,000, $25,000 a year for family health insurance. That's so outside of what is realistically affordable for people. It's just not right. It's completely wrong. Jesse, we all know that the exception of the French underground, or that with the exception of the French underground, the French are weak and meek and basically worthless. I hear the City of Lights canceled Christmas and New Year's Eve because the street animals they let take over are threatening them, and it worries me as now the dirtbag terrorists need a new target. Let's see, Australia and Europe have been taken care of. Who's next? Okay, so obviously I think about terrorist attacks the same way you think about terrorist attacks. They're on my mind from time to time, and when I'm in public at a public event, last night, I told you we went walking around, looked at the Christmas lights. I looked around and I was looking at people. Has he got a backpack? Has he got that? I'm thinking the same stuff you think. I will correct you on one thing, though. I do enjoy making fun of the French as much as any red-blooded American. But the French had one bad moment. And that bad moment has stayed with them reputationally for the rest of time. Keep in mind that the French military history is actually quite amazing. From pre-Napoleon to the Napoleonic era, the French were kicking everyone's rear end. World War I, the French fought like lions in World War I and had huge portions of their society butchered in that war. In World War II, yeah, it's embarrassing. It's indefensible. The country was so mentally worn down from the previous World War. The Germans had a great war plan. The French collapsed far faster than they should have. And because most people's interactions with French people are negative, because urban French people are insanely rude, that automatically makes French people worse in the minds of a lot of people. I can't believe I'm going to sit here and defend the French. But remember this, militarily, even today, France has some studs in the French military. Yeah, their political leadership is communist and embarrassing. Yes, they had a horrible, horrible collapse in World War II that's indefensible. I mean, Belgium puts up as good of a fight as France. Just indefensible what happened. Remember also the Battle of France, the one they lost? France should have won. It's not just that they collapsed like immediately. The French military was superior in every way to the German military that invaded and took them over. They had more men, more tanks, more guns, and they were the ones being invaded. Remember, the advantage is always with the defender, not the attacker. You're on your home territory. And they just screwed the whole things up. But also, and maybe there's a lesson in this for us, remember that they were dealing with subversives, internal subversives. It wasn't only the German military that stormed in and collapsed France. Europe is always at each other's throats, and Europe has it's been over 100 years now, a little over 100 years now. Europe has been fighting against and dealing with their own communist infiltration. Before the communists in World War I took over, had the revolution and took over Russia and made it the Soviet Union, before that even happened, there was a communist revolution brewing in Germany, in France. It got so bad that these armies had to execute people who were mutinying. The communist revolution is something they've been fighting for 100 years. It's so subversive and it's so brutal when you are torn apart internally and then face external forces. You've heard me talk about it when it comes to wars or potential wars with anybody, right? Russia, China, Venezuela, whatever. I have great concerns, even with the paltry army like Venezuela, because Democrats are so subversive, they will do everything to make sure we lose. They just will. They'll do everything they can to make sure we lose, up to and including aiding the enemy. They would, without, you know they would. You know they would. How quickly would Adam Schiff reveal battle plans to Venezuela if he thought he could get away with it without going to prison? Oh my gosh. Without hesitation. Of course. People were friggin' soulless. Anyway, get your T levels up. That'll make you feel better about things. Chris is asking why I was being so positive about so many things recently. Maybe my T levels are just so freaking high. I'm in a great mood all the time. I can't do anything about it. Don't shake your head, Chris. Have you started your male vitality stack from Chalk yet, or your female vitality stack? The clock starts when you start it. 60, 90 days. You are going to feel so much better all the time. 2026 is going to be the best year you've had in years. In your relationships, at work, just feeling good changes everything. And when your mind clears up and it works so much better, life is better. CHOQ.com. Get a subscription so you save money. They're giving out a free $99 bag of chocolate powder with your first delivery. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. All right, somebody has a problem with the liberal Aunt Peggy in this life. How do you coexist? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss me while I'm gone, go download the podcasts. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Go recap the Rhodesian Bush War. I called it a 5-part series, but I think with Buddy Lilly, it's really officially a 6-part series. Everybody loved that so much. I should note, after that series, one thing that just floors me, and it's a little bit intimidating if I'm being honest about it, other veterans of the Rhodesian Bush War have now reached out. And as soon as you read that, as soon as they introduce themselves that way, you're thinking, oh gosh, what did I screw up? Right, because someone was there. All of them loved it. Thankful, really cool. But maybe in the future, maybe next month, 2 months, maybe we'll have another one on. Different perspectives, right? Buddy Lilly was an American who went over there and kind of volunteered, but an actual Rhodesian would be interesting to hear from too. Maybe we'll get another one on. There are some out there. Something to think about. It's similar to Vietnam veterans, if I can get sappy for a moment. Talk to the Vietnam veteran in your life. Ask him about his service. it greatly saddens me that we're almost completely out of World War II veterans just because Father Time is undefeated. It saddens me. And I know that's just the way life goes, but I hate losing those old timers. And Vietnam veterans are getting up there too. Vietnam veterans are pushing 80. It's time to start talking to Vietnam veterans too. All right? Jesse, I have a liberal uncle, Peggy. He posts about anti-gun stuff every time there's a new shooting. He always posts about Trump, and the posts never have any substance to them. I would say I am on good terms with him because I'm away in the military and never see the family in person to share my thoughts on things. He hosted family Christmas parties all of my life growing up, but during COVID, he said if you weren't vaxxed, you couldn't come, of course. This left a bad taste in my father's mouth, along with mine. It takes a lot for me to hold my tongue when I see him post things on Facebook. What is your take on approaching these friends moving forward? All right. So first, it's going to depend how deep in the demonic communist religion he is. I'll give you an example from my own personal life. We'll come back to you. Let's make it about me first. No, seriously. Ob has one or two of these in her family. Not most of her family, but one or two in her extended family, if you will. But because she's so much nicer than I am, more of a keep the peace type person, has never wanted to engage about politics. When she sees her liberal Aunt Peggy posting crazy things online, she may complain to me about it, but she lets it go. She doesn't get on there and fight publicly. She doesn't believe in that anyway. Just let it go. Let it go, right? But her liberal Aunt Peggy, at least one of them, you may remember I talked to you about this on the show. Ob had posted, remember I did that speaking tour with Megyn Kelly? I was one of her guests down here in Houston. It was me and Donald Trump Jr. And Ob put up the poster saying, hey, Jesse's speaking. You just kind of so her friends could see if anyone wanted to go. Didn't even say anything. Just said, hey, it's Jesse speaking. The liberal Aunt Peggy, she ignores, sent her the longest, nastiest, most deranged private message you've ever heard. I read it on the air. I don't have it anymore, but I read it on the air one day whenever it came in. So that's me saying there's a chance what I'm about to say isn't possible. There's a chance that your liberal Uncle Peggy is going to force the issue. Always know that there's a chance of that. But let me say this. Your Uncle Peggy, he is mentally ill. All right? He's mentally ill. The Democrat in your life is mentally ill. They have serious problems, and I'm really not being mean. I'm not. They have serious problems. And they live in a world entirely of make-believe. Did you hear Dome on Jimmy Kimmel? Think about how hilarious and dishonest this is. But the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life believes
this. Why didn't they come out during your administration?
He was asking about the Epstein files. Why didn't the Epstein files come out?
Why didn't they come out during your administration?
To give you an answer that will not satisfy your curiosity, I will tell you, we, perhaps to our damage, but we strongly and rightly believed that there should be an absolute separation between what we wanted as an administration and what the Department of Justice did.
Obviously, that's hilarious. They worked hand in hand with the Department of Justice to arrest all their political opponents. You got that. But communists lie about everything all the time. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes those lies to such an extent that she is now mentally ill. That does not mean you have to cast her out forever. It's not what I'm saying at all. But I would put it this way. What if your liberal Aunt Peggy was a severe alcoholic? A severe alcoholic. I'm talking the kind of person that wakes up and pours whiskey in her coffee in the morning. She shows up at your house at noon for Christmas. She's already blasted. You're nervous. She was out on the road. She's vomiting in the fruit punch. I mean, that kind of thing. Nasty, bad alcoholism. Okay. Now, should you stop loving her? No. It's part of your family. But should you make sure you're careful to keep her at arm's length? Is she coming over to spend a lot of private time with your kids? Are you going to invite her out on a double date with you and your wife? No, because she has deep, deep problems that she has to fix. You can always be there for her if she needs help. You can always love her. She's your aunt. But she needs to be kept at arm's length until she works that problem out. And Lord willing, she does one day. If she doesn't, then she needs to be kept at arm's length for the rest of your life. If you have this liberal Uncle Peggy, liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, it doesn't have to be a family member. It can be at work, can be a neighbor. It doesn't mean you can't wave to them when you're taking out the trash tomorrow morning. It doesn't mean you have to skip their house when you're dropping off that crappy bag of popcorn you give everybody for Christmas every year. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean you have to understand you're dealing with a mentally ill person who believes water isn't wet, the sky isn't blue. They believe Donald Trump told people to inject bleach. They just believe a lot of things that are simply not true. And therefore, they have to be kept at arm's length. It would be, I'm thinking about like an insane asylum, honestly. The guy who's in there muttering to himself in the straitjacket. You can go talk to him if they allow you for visitation hours. Bring him a cup of orange juice. That's fine. Please don't take off the straitjacket and let him babysit your kids. That's how you have to treat Democrats now, as long as they're so mentally broken. And that sucks. It's really hard. But if you don't, you'll get burned. Just like if you fully embraced your alcoholic liberal Aunt Peggy. No. I'm not worried about her problem. You know what? Let's run to the store. Hey, Peggy, you drive. Okay. That's not going to work out well for you. One of the great skills in life to maintain happiness and success is one that I wished I had known when I was a teenage boy, but I learned it over the years. Learn to identify crazy and get the guts to cut it out of your life. Identify crazy and cut it out of your life. Those two skills combined are a superpower. Highly recommend you get them. Now, we'll move on. We'll talk about campaign donations, peace in the Middle East, sauce guys. Before we get to that, let's talk about preborn. This is the final time I get to tell you about saving someone's life. In a few days, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. There's babies out there who are about to be killed right now. 200 lives a day. That's how many babies are saved a day because of what preborn does, because of what you do with preborn. You, in partnership with this show, have already saved thousands of lives. $28 buys that ultrasound for that woman and saves her life. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com/Jesse. It's tax deductible. The year end is coming. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss us, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Chris, can we get some Christmas music on a Friday? Okay, why can't we play any Christmas music? No, not Mariah Carey. Can we get some Neil Diamond, one of the great Christmas albums of all time? Why are you making that face? What, Chris? You don't like Neil Diamond? Seriously? Even Sweet Caroline? You don't sing along to Sweet Caroline? Isn't he Jewish? I think his last name's Diamond. I'm almost, what? I wasn't being insensitive. Jesse, over the years, have you mentioned several times how politicians fill their campaign coffers in part to be able to use it to support other politicians' campaigns in hopes of getting support and other favors in return? Question. I thought that campaign law limits how much a politician can give to someone else's campaign, something like $2,000. Are they finding clever ways to get around this or other forms of contribution? Yes. So let me clarify, because I didn't want, I don't want any confusion on this. Me, let's say Chris is running for office. Of course, I would never give him a dime. But let's assume I would support Chris's run for office. Me, as an individual, I have a strict limit on how much I am allowed to give his campaign. What that limit is, I don't know now, because they adjust it every year. When I was running, it was $2,400 per election cycle. All right? Now, that's my limit. Now, let's say I'm Congressman Jesse. I have a campaign still because I'm still running for office. And Jewish producer Chris is running for Congress. And I want my campaign to give to his campaign. I have the exact same limit that you do, or I did as an individual. $2,400. There you go, Chris. Go get him. But there's a different world out there. And I don't want to say it's ugly, but it can be. The world of PACs, P-A-Cs, political action committees. What this world is, it's a way to raise and give gigantic quantities of political money that will be used for political reasons outside of the campaign finance law limits. Here's how it would work. We already mentioned if we were giving campaign to campaign. I'm already a congressman. Chris is trying to be a congressman. But I don't just have my campaign fund, right? I have also started a pack of mine. Now, I'll call it the cheeseburger pack. I didn't actually start it. Wink, wink. I didn't start it. Of course, it just so happens that a guy, Corey is his name, producer Corey, he totally on his own decided to start Cheeseburger Pack. Now, wink, wink, I am not allowed by law to coordinate with Corey on certain things, because Corey, wink, wink, is so separate from me. But he also is not, he does not have a political campaign. He has a pack that is not subject to these limits. Therefore, let's say Corey raises $1 million in one night. How would he do that? 10 rich guys showed up. They all decided they wanted to write Corey a check for $100,000. Well, this is not a political campaign. It's a political pack. They can do that. Then Corey, wink, wink, totally on his own. I certainly don't have anything to do with this. Corey decides he is going to then spend that money running political ads for Jewish producer Chris in his campaign run. Maybe they would be pro-Chris ads. Hey, we love Chris. He's great at managing the funds. Maybe it would be political, you know, a hatchet, essentially, where they would run campaign ads against his opponent. This is how this PAC world works. And it gets more confusing. It's more convoluted than that when we're talking about things like super PACs and whatnot. But I didn't want to bore you with all the details of it. The details don't necessarily matter. Just know there are campaign funds. Those are strictly limited. Then there are PACs. PACs which really have to be separate. When we're talking about super PAC world, separate. They can raise and spend large quantities of money. They are separate, though, and they don't have the same limitations on them. That makes sense? Jesse, what does peace in the Middle East actually mean? The American warrior blood that has been spilled and still being spilled in the name of all this fake stuff, so on and so forth. Says I can use his name. His name is Scott. He's a former sergeant in the National Guard. Is it worth the price? Whatever. Look. Remember that there are so many bumper sticker slogans. In fact, whenever you hear a bumper sticker slogan, no matter what, it's designed to make you nod your head and agree with it. Sounds so simple. Peace in the Middle East. Support our troops. I'm not saying you should disagree with it, because it's designed to make it so you kind of can't. But you should always question why you're being sold it. Always question why you're being sold it. Peace in the Middle East isn't humanly possible. It's not possible for a variety of reasons, but it's not humanly possible. One of the main reasons it's not humanly possible is the Shia and Sunni Muslims freaking hate each other. People who aren't Muslim, it can be confusing. It would be like Catholics and Protestants hating each other. I find that to be completely confusing. I don't understand it. I understand the history of it. I got all that, but the differences seem so small to me. Historically, they haven't been small to them. Shia and Sunni Muslims freaking hate each other, and they kill each other as often as they possibly can in the Middle East in a variety of ways. It is just, look, it's never going to happen. There's not going to be peace in the Middle East. All right, we only have 1 hour left until 2026. We're going to talk about everything from Somali fraud to regifting to being a sauce guy to the new Animal Farm. Did we lose Angel Studios? All that and so much more to come in the final hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.